This morning, somebody came over to me and said, I want to give a shlach manos for me and my family. Is this enough? So I said, is it for one ani, is it for two aniyim? So he started thinking. He said, well, let's see. I have me, my wife, four kids. That's six people. And how much should I give for each person? Okay, let's aim for $5 a person. Per matanos levyanim. So that's two people, so that's going to be $120. Wow, right? It's $10 a person. No, it's $60. Sorry, $5 plus another $5 for each, so it'll be $60. So, and okay, so he gave me money this morning, and it got me to wonder: to what extent is a father obligated to make sure that his kids, who are less than bar mitzvah, let's talk about less than bar mitzvah. Of course, once somebody's bar mitzvah, there's not much to talk about. Presumably, maybe even there's what to talk about. But at least a katan who you buy your son, who's a katan, a lulav and esrog, which is required. Yes, that is required, to be mechanech him for a lulav and esrog. So you all equally required to be mechanech your son to matanos levyonim. Or is there some difference between maybe lulav and esrog and all the other mitzvahs on one hand, and maybe matanos levyonim might be a little bit different than maybe wouldn't be obligated to be mechanech, and they say we're mechanech for other mitzvahs, either d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So, if you open up the Prima Gadim, in Hilchis Megill, and Hilchis Purim says that yes, just like we have Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim for adults, you should be mechanech for Ketanim. But I saw in Rishmuel Kamenetsky's Sefer, he suggests, and we'll develop why, he says he thinks that a child is not required, or you're not required, to be mechanech your children who are Ketanim in the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim. Lulav and Esrog, yes. Matanos Levyonim, no. Why not? Because what's the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim? Matanos Levyonim is to take something that's yours and give it to an ani. But the kid who's below bar mitzvah doesn't have anything that's really his. So he's not independently, he doesn't have an independent wealth or independent bank account. Yes, I know he has a bank account under his name and trust you, but he doesn't have his own money, and even the money that he does, it's your money, essentially. So he doesn't have his own money to give, so what's the point of him giving somebody else? It's like when my son says, Daddy, could I have $5 to buy you an anniversary present or a birthday present? It's sort of meaningless. You know, it's cute, but it's meaningless. So the same thing would be, says Shmuel Kamenetsky, when it comes to Matanos Levyonim. The whole point is giving money to somebody who doesn't have, and you don't have yourself, so what are you giving? Oh, so how's that different than a lulav and esrog? He doesn't have money to buy a lulav and esrog either. So Shmuel Kamenetsky was mechalik. He said that by lulav and esrog, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not just to buy lulav and esrog; it's to do a maisa of nanuim, of netila, whatever the maisa netila is. So you're mechuyev to be mechanechem in not having a lulav and esrog, but in being minaneya, in being notel to lulav and esrog. And that's a chiyuv that you do have to teach him to be mechanechem to do the netilat lulav, as opposed to when the mitzvah is giving something that you have and he doesn't have. So there, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky suggests that there would not be an obligation. And Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky draw a somewhat of a proof from the following. Magen Avraham suggests that somebody who is not ochel mishalo, somebody who doesn't have his own house, he lives by somebody else. Somebody like imagine a yeshiva bacher, even above bar mitzvah, who eats kest. In the olden days, he would live in somebody's basement and he'd be provided for by that person. Even if he's bar mitzvah, he's a teenager, he's a yeshiva bacher, but he doesn't have his own financial identity. So Magen Avraham suggests possibly, Magen Avraham said to be machmer, but suggests that possibly such a person would not be obligated to give matanos levyonim. And he quotes an interesting raya. Magen Avraham quotes a raya as follows. He says that the Gemara tells a story of two Amoram who were poor. And the Gemara says that poor, not pei vav resh, P-O-O-R. They're needy. And the Gemara says that, you know what they did for Matanos Levyonim, for Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim? Mechalfei su'dasayhu. How would we translate those two words? Mechalfei su'dasayhu. They would exchange their su'das. The way I would read that is that they'd go to a restaurant. They'd go to a Dunkin' Donuts. And I would buy a bagel with cream cheese and give it to my friend, and he would buy bagel and cream cheese and give it to me. We both end up with a breakfast of bagel and cream cheese, and we both took care of our obligations to give one another. That's how I would have translated those two words. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi in that Gemara says not like that simple explanation that we just suggested. Rashi says, what does it mean, mechalfei seudasai, that they would exchange meals? Rashi says that this year, one of them are ate by A, and the next year, they would switch and eat by B. Why didn't Rashi say the simple pshat, that they could just exchange? The Mogen Avraham suggests maybe it's because somebody who doesn't have to provide to somebody else is not obligated at all. And that's why they don't have to. There's no chiyuv to I give you and you give me, because if somebody doesn't have to give, there's no chiyuv. That's what the Magen Avraham suggests as a source, that maybe somebody who doesn't have is not obligated to give. According to that logic, we could readily understand what Shmuel Kamenetsky is saying, that a katan, a kid who's certainly below bar mitzvah, and perhaps even above bar mitzvah, but let's stick to below bar mitzvah, a kid who's below bar mitzvah, he doesn't have a real chiyuv. What's the chiyuv that you have? You have a chiyuv of chinuch. So the chiyuv of chinuch is for somebody who anyway doesn't really have his own independent chiyuv, because he doesn't have his own independent wealth anyway. So that's why Shmuel Kamenetsky did come out halacha l'maisa that there would not be chinuch for a katan who doesn't, because most katanim, again, nowadays I think it would be fair to assume that most katanim probably do have a bank account, probably do have some, you know, you get bris gifts and birthday gifts, and maybe some kids below bar mitzvah still get a little allowance here or there. So nowadays most kids do have some, but I don't know if that's enough to be mechayim. They're certainly not independent. What's that? Is there a mitzvah of chinuch on staka? Maybe he would equally hold there's no mitzvah of chinuch on staka. That's a good point. Maybe he would hold, that's possible. I mean, between you and me, the Prima Gadim says explicitly that there is a mitzvah of chinuch, so he's really butting heads with a Prima Gadim, which is not an easy, which I wouldn't be comfortable doing. Again, I'm, you know, but I'll just tell you what he says. Just to finish off, one other interesting halacha that's important to know. So when I was in the Mir in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, the favorite pastime of Yerushalmi kids is come to the American yeshiva boys in the Mir and say, kol ha-poshet yad. I'm sure it's happened to you, people who you don't check for, kol ha-poshet yad, no, it's in law based in Yerushalmi. And on, we don't check the validity or the how needy a person is on Purim. Somebody asks, you give. So what are the parameters? That really means anybody who asks, they come up driving a who knows what car. They look, they check what time. You see, ask them what time it is, and their Rolex says whatever time it is, and they look dressed to a T. And you have to give them because they asked. So first of all, where does this halacha come from? It's a fascinating lashon of both the Ritva and the Ramban. Let me share it with you. The Ramban says, you know why we're not medaktikin? In order sheyehu hakol smeichem, and listen to the Ritva now. Listen to this. Ein nesina zumi din staka gredesa. This is not a din staka alone. It has a staka component to matanis avir, but it's not a din staka. Elami din simcha. Wow, this is not a regular din staka. When you give staka, you should be careful. You should research. But matanis avir is not just a din staka. It's a din staka elevated to a din simcha. And in terms of the simcha, yes, it would even apply to a kid who you don't really know. And if one of my kids happened to, learn this halacha and knock on your door and say, kol ha-poshet yad, yes, it would be appropriate to give that person. Because you're right, it's not staka, but it would at least be midin simcha. And based on this, we come out with a kula, though. A mosad does not have this component whatsoever. Because a person who's collecting money for a yeshiva, for an institution, there's no din of kol ha-poshet yad, because although he, even if he gets a commission, I don't think that would be included, but he's not getting the simcha, he's not getting the money, it's being given to a mosad. If somebody's collecting on behalf of others, that would probably not have this din of kol ha-poshet yad. So therefore, we're coming out with the chumra and a kula. Chumra is if a person is asking for themselves, even if they don't really need it, you probably should give them if you want to fulfill this kol ha-poshet yad. On the other hand, the kula, if a person comes for an institution, there would not be this inyan of kol ha-poshet yad because you're not giving direct simcha to the recipient.